Well, hi again, everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of Schwartz on Sports here at New York Sports Day. I'm Peter Schwartz. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Hope everybody is safe and sound during this time that we're going through. And as we wait for sports to come back, a lot of people have been looking for things to do around the house. You know, for my sons and I, we've been spending a day each week going through our sports cards. It's not the only reason why I wanted to talk to my guest on the podcast today, but when he saw me posting some cards online on social media that I was looking through, and he saw that I had them in a screw-down case, he screamed at me on social media, said, "Get them out of the screw-downs," and he freaked me out a little bit, but you know what? We did it. My kids and I are going to get all the cards out of the screw-downs, and we're going to have some more fun with this going forward. And he is a longtime television sports executive, CBS Sports for 31 years, associate director, producer. I used to see him at NFL games all the time, and now he's been with Fox Sports for a number of years now as a senior coordinating producer for college basketball. My good longtime friend Steve Scheer joins us here on the podcast. Steve, it's Peter Schwartz. How are you?
Peter, I'm doing much better now that you put him in the magnetics.
I feel a lot. You freaked me out a little bit. I got a little nervous. Even my wife said I was panicking a little bit. I went to the store, got the first few. I thought they were a little too expensive, so I ordered a whole bunch on eBay, and I still have some more to go. But they actually, the funny part about it is that the box, the plastic box that had all of my, special cards in with those screw downs, that box is so much lighter now, Steve.
Well, I want to tell the folks why we asked you to put them into the magnetics.
Yeah.
Real quick story. Somebody that I know had a 1955 Sandy Koufax, and it was beautiful. The grading services are out there. This gentleman thought it was going to be a gem mint 10. Well, nothing comes back a gem mint 10, but he brought it to a car dealer who said, "Let's send it out to PSA, and then we'll talk about me buying it from you." So the gentleman said, "Well, it's going to be a 10. Because, well, let's find out. He had it in a screw down for years and screwed down really, really tight. So they send the card out to PSA and the card came back altered. Can't be graded. Because when it was in that screw down, it was screwed down so tightly that it actually condensed the card and it's no longer the right thickness."
Wow.
So PSA declined to grade it. So here you have a Koufax rookie that all of a sudden is worthless.
And you know what's funny about that? Well, not funny. I hate to be in that guy's shoes. But, growing up collecting cards, and I got a little older, and I started to get some cards that not necessarily meant a great deal in terms of net worth to me, although I have a few that I think are worth holding on to and making sure they look nice in a case. But more so for me, I like to center my collection around my favorite players and my favorite teams. And I was always told, and this goes back to maybe when I was even 13, 14, 15 years old, and I'm going to be 53 in a couple of weeks, everybody always said, put the good cards in the screw down. Put the good cards. I mean, go spend the money on the screw downs. The technology is different now with the magnetic cases. When did people start to realize that the screw downs really weren't all that they were supposed to be?
I'm not really sure, but you said it best. Technology has changed. There's now people saying don't put your cards in plastic pages or don't stack them on top of each other because they could stick to the pages. I think somebody had donated a collection to the Baseball Hall of Fame a few years ago, and they took them out of all the cases because no one's been able to prove that whatever you put them in is not going to damage them in some way or cause them to fade. Nobody really knows. But the screw downs was something that was state of the art in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I had two that I cherish. A 1939 Joe DiMaggio that I traded a CBS Sports banner for, and a 1950
And Steve, when you say the CBS Sports banner for the listeners, that would be like one of those big banners if you're watching an NFL game on television and you see the ball go out of bounds or you see a kickoff and you see that big CBS Sports banner on the wall of Giant Stadium or whatever stadium you were in. That's what you're talking about, right?
Correct. And
yes.
I cannot tell you how many collegiate athletes use those as a shower curtain. But I had those two in screw downs. And when I had heard about this man's story, I panicked, just like you did. I went right, I had those in a safe deposit box. So I went to the safe deposit box, and I had forgotten that I had gotten those two graded. So I was safe. I don't have anything in a screw down anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And my collection goes back to the 1800s. It's something I've always done. It's as a relief, something
yeah.
away from work and relief
sure.
stress. And it's now it's become a great bonding experience with my son.
You Same know,
there,
here.
There are four reasons you collect, okay? Number one, it's a hobby. Number two, it's to make money. Number three, it's a hobby and an investment. And the last one is strictly investment.
Uh-huh.
Mine is as a hobby. I'm not looking to sell them. I like knowing what they're worth. My son likes knowing what they're worth. But it's just an incredible way to stay with a sport. For now, you know, I don't do NFL football anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do baseball anymore. I do college basketball. So it's a way that I can still stay current with what players are in the league. I mean, it was when I was growing up, we would put the cards in our bicycle spokes.
Yeah.
And we'd flip them. Okay, so if you go back and look at all these cards from 1970s and 60s and 50s,
yeah.
and they're bent and they're creased and their corners are ragged.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the reason.
Right.
We played with the cards.
Oh, I used to take hundreds of them to school with me, and my mother could tell when I would get off the bus or she would come get me from school. She could tell right away if I had a good day or a bad day, and she could see on my face, you look upset, what happened? I'm like, I didn't do a very good job flipping cards today. I lost 50 cards.
And God forbid today if you put a rubber band around the cards. You know, my son actually saw something online. This just happened yesterday, Peter. My son came into our room last night and said, Dad, I'm going to clean my cards. And he's got rubber gloves on. I said, what do you mean you're going to clean the cards? And he said, I watched something online where you take a paper towel and you wrap your cards in it, and there's a way that if you blow hot air on it, it would get any of the dust off or remove it. There's a little scrape. I said, you got to be kidding me. And he's doing this. His big thing this year was collecting the basketball cards.
Right, right.
From this year. And I don't know if you followed that at all this year, Peter, but it's absolutely ridiculous because of Zion Williamson
yeah.
and John Morant. You know, if you could, there are people selling a Zion Williamson card
yeah.
for $60,000.
That's crazy.
They know $60,000, you know, you go get a Lexus, go get yourself a Mercedes.
Well, listen,
you know,
what's
that going to do for a house down
there? First of all, that thought would never come into my mind to spend that much money on a card. Second of all, if it ever did, my wife would make sure it was out of my mind very, very quickly. But I could tell you on the Zion conversation, my kids and I were with another family at we go to this big show, and hopefully it'll come back at some point, but there's a huge sports card show that we go to at Hofstra University in their basketball arena, and both of my kids wound up picking up, I don't know what the value of the card is, but obviously they're into the big names and stuff like that, and they found a guy selling Zion Williamson cards for like $2 or $3, and they each got one. And I was surprised that that's all it cost. I don't know if it was a name brand company that made the card, but they couldn't care less. They had a Zion Williamson, what they think is a rookie card, and maybe it still is. But I think that goes to the other side of the business. You talk about people spending money for high end things. And my collections have always been about what I really liked, my favorite teams. And I think my kids are the same way. They look for bargains when they're at the shows, and they like to build up their collections on names that they know, their favorite players, their favorite teams. And I think for a lot of people, that's kind of the way you're kind of the way to go because things have gotten so out of whack with how much things cost.
Especially if you're going to buy anything graded.
Yeah.
I did something similar to you. I mean, I got the bug. I can still recall the day back in 1973. My dad passed away. And I started in 72. My dad passed away, and his niece's fiance sent me in the mail a stack of baseball cards from 57, 58, 59 that were beat up. As a matter of fact, he wrote his initial D on the back of the cards. And I got the bug. I thought it was kind of cool, to, you know, as a hobby. So I saved everything that I collected from 73 on up. And I was big on just collecting sets and my favorite players. And then I said, you know what? I have a lot of these cards from 1957. Why don't I try to complete that set?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with 1956. So it took me 30 years, but that was the fun of the hobby. You know, the last card I needed for the 1956 set was a Pittsburgh Pirates team card.
Mm-hmm.
That was the last card. And I want, and I upgraded cards along the way. Look, it's not Gem Mint 10.
Right.
But it's, they're real, you know, all the corners, there's no creases, nothing.
Right.
It's a beautiful set. But it gave me something to do. And then my son got interested in it, so he would come across with me. Now, if you think the Hofstra show is good.
Yeah.
and I only tell you this because it's going to be in our area. The National show was supposed to be in Atlantic City in July.
Yep. Yep.
It got canceled, and it's going to be, it's postponed until December. Whether they have it in December, I don't know. Obviously, it's a busy time of year for all of us.
Right.
Hopefully, sports will be back full-blown between the NFL.
Yep.
College basketball. But that show is beyond belief. It takes, I took my son to it, to the last two. One was in Cleveland, because I live in New Jersey, so
yeah.
We hop on Route 80. It was a straight shot to Cleveland. But it took us 6 hours, but it was a great six-hour drive.
By the way, I'm very familiar with that drive to Ohio because we've made that drive the last couple of years. One was a family trip to the Pro Football Hall of Fame and Cleveland for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and a Billy Joel concert. But the last two summers, my older son has played for the U.S. national football team at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So we're very familiar with Route 80 and the route to Ohio.
Well, the one thing I will say on that route is when you get to the sign that says next exit 75 miles, that's when you start to wonder why. Is this a long drive or what? But it's, you know, the National Convention is just, it tables and tables and tables. And you can get great buys there.
Yeah.
You can get great bargains. And then there's also the people that aren't going to try to work with you at all. I mean, getting back to that Zion card, an example, there was a box that my son wanted. Now, when I was collecting, the packs were 5 cents. Okay? A dime.
A dime.
Now, to get a box of these basketball cards this year, my son said, Dad, it's going to be $130 for the box. I said, okay. Well, this one person that we buy them from sold them to us for $130. We look online. The boxes are going for $1,500 now.
Wow.
All because Zion Williamson and Ja Morant are in these boxes. And if you happen to get one that's autographed or with his, they call it a rookie patch auto. Okay, so it has his autograph and a piece
yeah.
of his jersey on
yeah.
his card. Forget about it. I will say this. My son, I had shoulder surgery recently. And my son did a great job of just hanging with me. I got out of the sling and I said, okay, we're going to go to a card show. We went to one similar like Hofstra.
Yeah.
It was at the Westchester County Center.
Oh, I've been to that one. I've been to that. Same promoters run both shows.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I said to him, I said, you know what? You were so good to me. I want you to pick out two boxes. And this is last year, so the boxes weren't that expensive. He picked out a basketball box, and he picked out a football box. In the football box, there's only 6 packs. We get home. It's in October. We came back to watch the Yankees playoff game that night on Fox, by the way.
On Fox, yep.
So we sit down, and he goes, Dad, how many do you want to open? I said, you know what? His name is Will. I said, Will, they're yours. He goes, no, you open one. I said, okay. So I open it up. I get like an old Damian Tomlinson autograph. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And there was one other card that I got's nice. And now he goes to open up the other five packs. His next to last pack, he's sitting in a chair next to me, and he starts screaming, Dad, Dad, Dad. I go, what? He goes, Dad, where are the cases? I said, you know where the cases are, what? He goes, you're not going to believe this. I go, what? What? And he wouldn't tell me, but he couldn't breathe. He goes into the closet, and he finds one of the magnetic cases that I asked you to go get.
Yes.
And he comes back out, and he says, look at this. And he gets, it was the first year that this player ever inscribed with his autograph. So he gets a 2 of 4. So there's only 4 that were made. Tom Brady, Super Bowl MVP autograph.
Now, you see, if I wasn't a Jets fan, I'd be more excited to hear that story.
Well,
I think
you'd be real excited.
No, I know. I'm just busting chops. I know. No, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Now, how about this, though? How about this, though? Here's what the kid says to me. Dad, I'll sell it, and I'll put it away for my college education.
Wow.
And I said, you know what? You got that card. I think you should sell it. But watch this, wait a little. Just wait a little while.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's skyrocketed in price. He's first ballot Hall of Famer for sure. So, but that's his prized possession. And that's one of the things that's great, Peter, when you bond, when you do this with your son or daughter. Right. I mean, you open up these packs, and it's a thrill to see what you're going to get. Look, I can't tell you how many packs we've opened together. We've got trash.
Mm-hmm.
We got a Tiki Burton autograph. I don't know if anybody here remembers Tiki Burton from the New York Knicks. Okay? So, you know, but the one time he got this great hit, you know, he also had one of those year he wanted. All he cared about was getting a Jaylen Brown rookie autograph.
Yep.
He's opening up the box, and he gets a Celtic autograph. And he goes, oh. I go, what? He goes, I didn't get Jaylen Brown. I said, you're kidding. Well, who is it? He goes, Larry Bird. You got a Larry Bird autograph? I'll take that from you.
Are you kidding me? See, now, does your son, if you ask for a card, does your son give it to you?
He knows that hopefully I will never have to sell any of my collection. So he knows that he's going to inherit it.
The reason why I ask, my wife is a Mets fan and I'm a Yankees fan. So my kids, we had to make a compromise. So I got the Islanders. So my kids are Islanders and my wife got the Mets. So anytime my younger son Jared gets a pack of baseball cards, and like you just said, the excitement of opening a pack of cards, no matter what sport it is incredible. And he's like, oh, I got a Pete Alonso. That's great. And then I'll be like, hey, Dad, I got a Gary Sanchez. And I'm like, okay, can I have it? He's like, no. I would never take the card from him anyway, but that's just the excitement of opening up a pack of cards. I will tell you, along those lines of getting those special cards in a pack, he bought one of those. I don't even know if it was in Five Below or in Target. You know, they sell those Fakakta boxes of cards, like, you know, 50 football cards or whatever it is. And he opens up this box of cards, and there's a Travis Kelce autographed card in this box. And again, it's not even he doesn't play on a team that we root for, but here's a card that, you know, now a 10-year-old, I think it was only 8, or, you know, I don't know if it was last year when he got it, but he was 8 or 9 when he got it. I mean, here it is, like, knowing, realizing how special the card was, that just holds on to it and cherishes it so much. And I think that's one of the great things about the whole card collecting thing, too, is it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, the most expensive card or the highest profile card, but something that just stands out that you want to wrap your arms around and hold on to and just keep it.
Yeah. My son's gone to these shows also and found a card that he likes the player. And he likes the look of a card. It's not going to be worth much, but he'll he'll buy it and say, this is for my collection. I'm like, okay, fine. That's great. You know, it's a great hobby. When you start looking at for what, you know, when you look at it as a business, it's a totally different animal.
Yeah, it's different, completely different. We have a couple minutes left with Steve Scheer from Fox Sports, senior coordinating producer of college basketball, and as I mentioned before, 31 years with CBS Sports. I used to see him all the time at Giants Stadium and Jets practices and things like that. And you and I are both, you know, waiting for, you know, these team sports to come back in North America in the aftermath of COVID-19. And, you know, we're starting to see it slowly trickle back. And at least at the beginning, there's not going to be fans in the stands. And watching the games on TV are going to take on an even more of a special meaning than just a family of four sitting around one night and watching a game on television. You know, TV sports now has this unbelievable opportunity of having this audience, especially when it starts, because people have not had sports since the middle of March. How different do you think TV sports production is going to be going forward, with at first people not even being allowed to go to the games, and there's going to be people who choose not to go to the games? They're going to rely on TV to watch their sports.
Well, I don't think anybody knows. I think it's going to be trial by error. But in the very beginning, as you've seen, Fox started broadcasting NASCAR. The director was in a truck. The producer was in a control room in Charlotte, North Carolina. The tape operators were in Los Angeles. So having everybody on site, I don't know when that's going to happen again. Same with the announcers. Baseball's coming back and the NBA is coming back, and they're talking about all the announcers are going to be taking a feed and sitting in a studio somewhere calling a game. Well, it might not seem like that big of a deal, but what you don't realize is, let's use an example of a football game, right? And only because they're the first team that came to my mind because we talked about the Tom Brady card. Let's say it's a Patriots game and Gus Johnson is calling the game. And he sees Tom Brady fade back for a pass, and wide open downfield, breaking completely free, is Rob Gronkowski. And in Gus's call, he says, Brady fades back, Gronkowski, wide open down the field. Well, if you're calling the game from a monitor in a studio,
right,
you can't see that.
No.
You can only see what's on your screen. So it's going to be different in that regard. Not having fans there, it's going to be interesting. Soccer's tried it in putting crowd noise in. There's been talk about the networks putting crowd noise in. I don't know. I was there for the last game that was played on Fox, the Big East tournament. We had St. John's Creighton, which they played for a half.
Right, right.
And in that game, they only allowed, I think it was family and certain friends of the program were allowed in.
Right.
It was very few, a sparse crowd. And it was strange because you didn't have the big swell of excitement. I think cameras are going to have to focus more on the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all used to love getting the great shots of the fans. You know, I still remember my days at CBS when a director by the name of Bob Fishman got this wonderful shot of the Villanova flute player.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Penn fan had half his face painted blue and half red, and there was a tear coming out. You know, that's going to be gone for the foreseeable future. They're going to run the Indy 500, they say, with 50% of the fans there, but 50% of 200,000 is still 100,000.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That. So let's say that comes off without a hitch. I can't imagine that it will. Look, somebody's going to get sick. Somebody's going to be sick. We're seeing it now with the players. You know, when they find six NBA players at
their
positive. So it's going to take a little while. It's going to take a little while to get used to. We have a great game at Madison Square Garden on Fox this year. In preseason, it's going to be a top five game. It's Villanova, Virginia at Madison Square Garden.
Yep.
Are we going to play it in front of a full building? Are we going to play it in front of any fans? I don't know. Am I going to be there outside in a TV truck? I don't know. Nobody knows the answer.
Yeah.
And until, you know, me personally, I'm okay going to the building. I'm okay, you know, I'm going through still physical therapy for my shoulder.
Right.
And now when I go into physical therapy, they take my temperature.
Right.
And I wear a mask. We got to be smart about how we do things. That's number one. So wear the mask. Will there be a vaccine? Eventually. But like the flu, a flu vaccine doesn't guarantee that you're not going to get the flu.
Right.
It increases your chances you won't get it, but there's no guarantee. So somewhere along the line, a decision is going to have to be made. Are we going to play the games? Are we going to allow fans in? You know, we've seen what it's like since March 13th until this, a few weeks ago when we started NASCAR, how much, especially this country, craves their sports. When Fox broadcast virtual racing, they did a really good rating.
Yeah, yeah.
We love our sports. So we also have to live. You know, do we want to, all of us, never leave our houses again? Not go to a ballpark. Not go to a stadium.
I don't think anybody wants that. Nobody wants that.
But I got to believe that we're going to find a way to beat this thing. Or at least contain it and control it, and we move forward.
And I think also, I mean, we've already seen, like, we've started to hear stories about, you know, the NFL going forward with the season as planned, and they're going to leave it up to the local teams to figure out what kind of capacity they're going to have. I mean, the way I'm reading into this, the NFL is planning on having a season, and I think you're going to see some fans. Well, you're not going to see 70,000 fans, but I don't think that's reasonable to expect at this point. But I think as long as fans follow the protocols, and you want to have social distancing at a ballpark, and if you want to put a couple of thousand people in, I think everybody, it'd be everybody's best interest, as long as you're following the protocols, wear a mask when you can't be 6 feet away from some people, and you know, and arrive when you're supposed to arrive. I think we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel that could be a possibility. And obviously, from a TV standpoint, I mean, it looks better on television with people in the stands.
It looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Especially when the buildings are full. I was talking to a Big Ten athletic director a couple of weeks ago, and I asked him flat out. I said, "Hey, you know, I'm hearing that you're going to play your football games 25% capacity." And he said, "Well, we're hoping for 50. I'm like, "Well, how do you decide who's going to go?" And he goes, "Well, you know, we've already told our season ticket holders that in the past, you know, if you had 8 season tickets, this year you might only have 4. You'll still be eligible in the future when things are better to have your 8, and you're still going to get all your credits.
Right.
But we might have to cut you back to 4. And so how did that go over? And he goes, "Everybody's been very receptive and understanding."
Yeah.
Now, I say that to you because let's use that now for the Giants or Jets. Let's say Peter Schwartz had 8 season tickets to the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And they come to you and they say, "Pete, you're only getting 4 this year. Are you going to be receptive to that?"
You know what? I can't speak for anybody else, but you know, I would have to be receptive to it because it's either I'm receptive to it or I don't go to the games. You know, I was having this conversation with somebody the other day. Even take it a step down, Steve. If you have 2 season tickets and they come to you, and if they're only going to let 15,000 people in the building, they can't accommodate everybody. I mean, if they're going to turn around and tell me now instead of going to all 8 games, you can only go to 1 or 2. I was having this argument with a friend of mine in Baltimore last week. He's got Ravens season tickets. "You mean to tell me I can't go to all the games?" I'm like, "Well, it's either you can't go to all the games or you don't go to any of them. It's 2020. We're living through this." So I think if people are not understanding about it, then, you know, what else could you do? If you have a chance to go to some of the games, not all of them, wouldn't people want to take that?
Well, 2 points. First off, your buddy with the Ravens season tickets.
Yeah.
They're a Super Bowl contender.
I know.
We don't have that problem here in New York this year, I don't think.
I don't think so, no.
I wish we would, but I'm not so sure about that. Secondly, ironically, on Facebook, I had a buddy who's a Giants season ticket holder. And he posted that the Giants gave him the option of passing on his tickets this year because of what's going on.
Right.
but he would not lose his right or his seat location for the following year if he passed on it for this year and didn't have to pay for him this year.
Right.
And I thought that was great. I haven't heard anything about that. I haven't read anything about the
Patriots
doing that.
The Patriots did it too.
I think that's great. So now here's a guy who's like, you know what? I'm not going to take him this year. So he's going to save his money,
mm-hmm.
and he's not going to take a chance. There's going to be other people who are going to say, hey, I'll take those tickets.
Right.
And it's, you know, as long as people work together, as long as we all work together as a society and as sports fans, we're going to be okay.
Hey, Steve.
And the TV ratings are going to be great.
They're going to be awesome. But, Steve, I could tell you right now, if they opened up sports tomorrow and there was a game and you're telling me that there's protocols for the fans to go and there's protocols for the media, I would go to the game as a fan. I would go cover. If WFAN asked me to go cover a game or if CBS Sports Radio asked me to go cover a game and they were the right protocols, I would go. I have no problem with it. I can't speak for everybody else. I know there's people who wouldn't want to go, who don't think that game should even be played to begin with, but I would go, and I think there's a lot of people that feel that way.
I'm in your camp.
Yeah, yeah.
I would go in a heartbeat.
I think these 4 months have been, it's the longest I've gone to without going to a game since the 9 months before I was born.
I can believe it.
Steve, I can't thank you enough. I love talking the baseball cards and everything with you, the sports cards, and obviously we're both looking forward to the return of sports. So you and I can get back to doing what we love to do for a living, and that is go cover sporting events, no matter what stadium or arena it is. And it was great to catch up and talk to you for a little bit.
Pete, thanks for the time, and remember, no more screw downs.
No more screw downs. Only the Ultra Pro Magnetic with the 35 point for the standard card. There we go. Steve Scheer, my good friend from a long time with CBS Sports, 31 years, and now with Fox Sports. Looking forward to seeing him at a stadium or arena really, really, really soon. And thanks for listening to this edition of Schwartz on Sports here at New York Sports Day. I'm Peter Schwartz, and we'll catch you again next time.